And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to 2026. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to the Fairway Sports Radio Show. We're broadcasting live today from our Srixon Studios located right here in South Alabama. And as always, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, where there are no shenanigans and hassle-free buying at McConnell Automotive. They're located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile. Or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I am Randy Bergen. Glad to have you here with us on a, well, it looks like a little cloudy Saturday, but hopefully we'll get a little bit better. We're on the back veranda again this week at Quail Creek, and with that, I bring in the director of golf here at Quail Creek, Sweet Swinging Bobby Hall. Bobby, how you doing? The wallet is a little lighter from yesterday.
Barry, it's really good to see you today. Hey, Rand, we just kicked Randy off his own show. Yes, but we had a good time. Let me tell you, the greens at Glen Lakes are really good, so get over there and see David Musial. It was really fun to get away and play another course for once. But Quail Creek's back in really good shape, and we have men's bullpen this morning. We had a little over 50 players playing and enjoying the new year. So thanks for having me on, and look forward to the broadcast today.
Well, we'll have a lot of fun. Let's see. We're going to just do it straight up. We got to introduce Coach Barry Gibson hanging out with us. Casey Kasem not with us today, and Howard Cosell could not make it as well. So,
oh, no. You
know, yeah, so it'll be just straight up. Hello, Barry. How are you?
Hey, Randy. Good to be here, buddy. Happy New Year, guys.
Oh, absolutely. Happy New Year. You got any big plans for 2026?
Just to make it to 2027 at my age, you know, every day is a blessing. So, no, man, not really big plans, just to enjoy every day. Every day is a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, and, so that's what I do.
Bob, you got some resolutions for 2026?
Yeah, I need to drop about 20 pounds. I need to work on my putting.
It cost you yesterday.
I shoot 74. Don't make a birdie and still lose money. I got to redo the bet.
Yeah,
figure something
there
out.
There you go.
We had a lot of fun day. We had a lot of fun. It's great camaraderie. We have a great time.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. We want to thank David Musial over at Glen Lakes. He'll be on with us coming up over the next couple weeks as well. So always fun to go out there and play. Hey, coming up in the show, in the next segment, we're going to be talking a little Auburn football. We'll do that with Brad Law. He's part of that Auburn broadcast team. We'll talk some Tiger basketball. Of course, they got a new football coach. Alec Gulich is the new coach. We'll talk a little bit about him and what the expectation for Auburn's going to be. And, look, there's been a lot of folks leaving. Deuce Knight leaves.
Cam Coleman.
Yep. Leaves. You said Cam Coleman was looking at going to a couple different places.
Yeah, I read where he has got several visits planned. Randy, SEC schools, he's going to visit Texas. He's going to visit Texas A&M. Southern Cal, he's going out to California and visit them, and LSU, and he's going to visit Alabama, which for an Auburn guy, that's, you know, that's pretty good, I guess. But after that performance the other day, I don't know if I'd be visiting them or not yet.
Well, and I would
get some things fixed.
We're definitely going to talk about that ball game and that debacle, and but from a coaching standpoint, and you see now with this transfer portal. You saw Ole Miss's quarterback, Simmons. Now the backup quarterback says, hey, guess what? I don't like playing backup. I want to play a starter, so I'm going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kids just – you know, you and I were talking about this at the break, Randy, a while ago. Kids have almost forgotten how to compete for a position. You know, if it's not handed to them, you know, and I was a starter, but I lost my job, and now, you know, Trinidad Chambers is a quarterback, so I'm just going to leave. Instead of compete – you know, and try to win that thing back. I think we just lost, you know, the competitiveness with these kids because of the transfer portal. I think it's really hurt.
Well, and I agree. And that's the sad part about it. And I think that's why you see some of the performances that we've seen. Now, look, there's some pretty doggone good players out there. Mendoza for Indiana, I thought, played outstanding against Alabama. And I was asking Mark Laster in the PSR show a little while ago, did Alabama make Indiana look good, or was Indiana really that good?
I think they're really that good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a very complete team, both sides of the ball, special teams. They're solid. So now did Bama help them look good some? Yeah, absolutely. You know, but not overall. Indiana was just a better team. And it all goes back to physicality, you know, the more physical team usually is going to win. And they were just more physical than Alabama, which I never thought I'd hear myself say that. There was teams out there that were more physical than Alabama because we were so used to seeing those Alabama teams, man, that just knock your head off, you know, on defense. And offense just ram the ball down your throat. You don't see that now. You see that with Indiana right now.
Yeah, Indiana looked like Alabama of old.
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good running backs. Quarterback smart, you know, protects the ball pretty well, runs well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look like Bama of old.
You know, Barry and Bobby, the offensive line for Alabama, perhaps some of the biggest guys on the offensive line in the nation, can't move anybody, just didn't move anybody.
Yeah, and Randy, you know, coaching for as long as I did, it's really very simple. You know, to run the football, everybody says Alabama doesn't have a running game. Well, to run the football, it's not that difficult. You get your offensive lineman, you know, you block down first man inside, kick out, you know, with a guard or an H-back, kick out the end guy, pull a backside guard up in the hole, and run that thing right in behind the big boy. You don't see that in their schemes. And I look at their blocking schemes when they play, and I don't see the double teams. I don't see the kick out blocks. I don't see Alabama firing off the ball, you know, low and hard and just trying to, you know, drive somebody off the ball, which is that's how you run the football, you know, and that's what Indiana does very well. And teams I had, I made sure that's what we were going to do first. If we didn't do anything else, we were going to line up and learn how to double team block down in the inside gap. We're going to learn how to kick out the edge player, pull a guard around on a power play, trap block. It doesn't matter. There's so many blocking schemes, but you just don't see that with Alabama.
Did you like that what was it, fourth down and a yard, less than a yard, and instead of running straight up the middle, we run
east and west. You're never going to get it. Never going to get it running east and west unless you've got a speedster out there that can get around the edge, which is still that's hard to do, you know. And again, what's that say about your identity?
It's
fourth and one. You can't pick up a yard. You've got to try to rely on a trick play or a jet sweep to get outside instead of say, look, you know, here we come. We're going to not hit you in the mouth, and we're going to pick up this yard.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. You know, I question the play call on that fourth down.
Now, DeBoer, obviously, there's a lot of Alabama fans that are calling for DeBoer, pack up and leave. Mm-hmm. DeBoer's a winner. I mean, yeah. You can look at his past, his history. He's won everywhere he's gone. He's beat LSU. He's beat Auburn. 1-1 with Georgia. Do you think that there's a change coming? Does he have 2026? And if it doesn't change, he's gone. And wouldn't it be pretty cool if he is gone? You know who I'd be going after? Indiana's coach.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Cignetti's been there on the staff under Saban, and he would be a natural fit. But let me tell you a short story here about that right there, Randy. Number one, DeBoer's not calling the plays, all right? Grubbs
is calling
the plays.
Grubb is.
Okay? So I remember when Mack Brown, and you know my relationship with Mack, Bob, you know he coached me at Southern Miss, and we have remained friends over all these years. When Mack first got the head job at North Carolina, he went 1-11 first year. Second year, 1-11, all right? And then the next 2 years, he went 11-1, 11-1. And then people say, how'd that turn around? Well, one thing, if I'm, of course, I'm nobody to offer Mac advice, but he has a beach house in Pensacola. And he called me, and this was in off-season. Barry, I'm going to be in Pensacola. Why don't you come by, and we'll, you know, hang out. And I did. We sat out on his back porch looking at the water, and we're talking football. And I learned more football from Mack Brown just for those kind of conversations. But I told Mack this. I said, Coach, and this is when he was 1-11. I said, this is just my humble opinion. But, Coach, I said, you got hired at North Carolina for your offensive mind, for your play calling. When you called the plays at Oklahoma, you were the OC, and when you're at Tulane, you called. I said, why are you not calling the plays? And he went back, not that it was anything to do with me, but the next year he took over the play calling duties, and they went 11-1.
Now, when he was at Texas, was he doing play calling at Texas?
No, he had an OC, but at that time, you know, he didn't have to do that at Texas, you know. But at North Carolina, a struggling program, you know, and that's what I told him. I says, Coach, they hired you because of your play calling ability and your offensive mind. And why are you not calling the play? So I was really glad to see him do that. And he went back to calling the plays. And then they went, like I said, from 2-22 in 2 years to 22-2. They turned it completely around. So my point is this. Maybe DeBoer needs to start calling some plays, you know, because Grubb's not getting it done.
Yeah.
You know, and if he doesn't want to call the plays, then get you another OC that can, you know, get the running game going and, you know.
But there again, is the running game not going because you don't have any blocking? Is it going and not going because you don't have any running backs? I mean, what is it? Okay, there's something missing. There's something missing.
All of it.
So, all of it. Exactly.
All of it's missing.
You scored
3 points.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some Auburn football. We'll talk Auburn basketball. We'll do that with Brad Law, part of the Auburn broadcast team, as Southern Fairways rolls on right here live at Quill Creek Golf Club in beautiful Fairhope, Alabama. Welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. I am Randy Bergen along with Sweet Swingin' Bobby Hall, the director of golf here at Quail Creek Golf Club in beautiful Fairhope, Alabama, and hanging out with us also, Coach Barry Gibson, as we go to our Boot George Cajun Grill guest line. Welcome in a good friend of ours, part of the Auburn broadcast team, Brad Law, on the line with us. Brad, how you doing, partner?
Guys, we're doing well, and I hope you are too today.
Well, we are, and Happy New Year to you and the Auburn family. Of course, you got basketball going on today. You got a big game at noon. You'll be taking on the Bulldogs of Georgia. I want to talk Auburn basketball with you, and I want to save enough time to talk some Auburn football. But talk about this basketball team right now under Bruce Pearl's son.
Yeah, it's been interesting because it's a completely different team. Tahad Pettiford was the only guy coming back from last year's Final Four team, and Stephen Pearl takes over as the head coach. So you got a new head coach, same assistant coaching staff, entirely new roster. And they've had a very different style of play. They've not been inside out like last year's team was with Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell and then those veteran guards. They've been more outside in, the three-point shot, the perimeter offense, Tahad Pettiford trying to create a little more one-on-one matchups. Rather than trying to rack up 20 assists per ball game. Last year's team and traditionally under Bruce Pearl, they were built on defense. This year, the offense has been much further along than the defense. They've made progress there, but they've been further along offensively than defensively. So an entirely new style of play, an entirely new roster, and today you get into an entirely new season with the game at a nationally ranked Georgia team.
And that's a very difficult place to play right there in Athens against those Bulldogs, no doubt about it. A good basketball team, a lot of tradition there at Georgia. How do you see this game? I mean, obviously being part of the Auburn broadcast team, you're picking Auburn, but this should be a pretty close game.
It's going to be a track meet, I think. Both teams are further along offensively than defensively. Both teams have shown flashes defensively, but the right cross for these teams is their offense, and in particular their ability to create transition offense and maybe even transition three-point buckets. Georgia got off to a hot start in non-conference play last year against not the most challenging schedule, and then they faded in conference play when you get into that grind. Auburn played a challenging schedule last year, and then they held up, and they won the conference with a couple of weeks to go. This year, Auburn challenged itself again in the non-conference schedule. Georgia, not so much. Bulldogs lead the country in scoring offense. They're averaging 99 points per game. Now, look, it's January. If you're averaging 99 points a game and it's January, you're doing some things right. They're very good in transition, and their defense leads to offense. They're tops in the country in blocked shots per game. So, but you know what? Auburn doesn't really go to the basket with size and intentionality a lot. It's more of a perimeter game. So both of these teams want to play perimeter offense. Both of them want to get up and down the floor in a hurry, win one-on-one matchups offensively. I think they're similar styles of play, and it will be very interesting to see off-ball defense and, you know, which team can maybe force the most turnovers around the three-point line before that entry pass is made to the post to try to steal some possessions today.
We're visiting with Brad Law, part of the Auburn broadcast team. Barry?
Yeah. Hey, Brad. Barry Gibson here. I had to ask this question. You're in a very unique situation when you had a very successful coach in Bruce Pearl, and then his son takes over. So I'm wondering, how involved is Bruce still in the program? How hands-on is he now that his son is the new coach, or has he backed off completely?
Yeah, I wouldn't say completely I would say completely in terms of hands-on involvement with the team. Bruce is not at practices. He's not telling guys what to do. He's not that visual presence. Now, he's at games, but it's more he's not seeking the spotlight. He was at the game against Queens this past Monday night, but he didn't really show up until the second half, and he stayed off in a corner. He's there to support his son, who is the head coach, and the program that he led for over a decade. But he is not still trying to be in any way the head coach or even an assistant coach or all that visible, because he wants his son to I think Bruce recognizes what comes with your son taking over as the head coach and all of the assumptions that are made and some of the connotations that come with it. Mm-hmm. He wants to get that as far away from Stephen as possible. And I think that's admirable. So we see Bruce, but he's not seeking out the spotlight either with the team or otherwise as it relates to the team.
Visiting with Brad Law right here on Southern Fairways. Brad, certainly a part of the Auburn broadcast team. Brad, let's take a turn and talk a little football real quick. You got a new coach coming in, Alex Golish. Yep. You'll kick off the season September the 5th against Baylor. And then, Barry, you and Bobby will like this. Auburn will host your Southern Miss Eagles September the 12th. Let's talk a little about the new coach. You've had some folks leaving. Of course, we know Cam Coleman has left. Deuce Knight has left. Several others. Talk a little about the feel for your new coach, what the word on the street is, and how the fans are gathering around him.
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of like if for those who are involved in real estate or maybe retail development, you go into a place, you say, I want to pinpoint that building, and I'm going to open a business in that building. So what do we need to do? Do we need to demo the building? No, we just need to remodel it. And then you get in inside that building and you realize, oh gosh, no, there's some deeper damage than we thought. We're going to have to do more. And it looks like we are going to have to demo and rebuild. And I think that everybody's kind of gaining the understanding based on the number of players, specifically offensively, that have entered the portal, that specifically that side of the ball did need a complete demo and rebuild. And that's mentality. That's culture. It wasn't talent. I mean, the guys had talent, but Auburn went 5-7 back-to-back years. So they didn't really get a return on that talent. Didn't really get a return on the NIL piece either. And so sometimes you got to totally start over. Defensively hasn't been that way. Auburn retained DJ Durkin. They retained Vontrell King-Williams, the defensive line coach. And as a result, a bunch of D linemen and linebackers have announced that they're coming back. So that's more of a renovation than a demo. This coach plays with an edge. He's got a plan. He's intentional, and he's very process-driven. And I thought it's interesting that Alex Golish went out and hired a staff that had some of the USF guys who know how to work the machinery. They know how to work the process, how the assembly line goes. But he also went out and got guys who have SEC and other power conference experience. Larry Scott, Larry Porter, Coleman Hutzler, Tim Banks. These guys have played a lot, have coached a lot in the SEC. They've recruited in the SEC. They know what it takes to coach, prepare, lift, run, win in the SEC. And so it's a really good balance among the coaching staff. The portal's been open for, 28 hours or so now. So we'll see what they add in this portal. I would imagine, though, Auburn doesn't take a back seat in regards to NIL, atmosphere, facilities, resources in general to win, and I would imagine they will be very aggressive in this portal season to replace all the talent that has entered the portal.
Yeah, Brad, would it be fair to say that their number one priority in the portal would be to restock that wide receiver room, because they've lost, three really talented receivers? And if this program is a building, they just lost support beam with Cam Coleman. He's a heck of a player, and he's going to be hard to replace. But he's not the only one. Two or three other receivers have decided to leave. So, again, I assume they are really looking hard at rebuilding the wide receiver room.
Yeah, the great thing about it is that you can focus on multiple areas. I think, though, this staff, you know, the quarterback room, they have one true freshman who's in the quarterback room right now, because Jackson Arnold, Deuce Knight, and Ashton Daniels have all entered the portal. So you got to replace quarterback first. And, you know, Byron Brown, who's only the 12th player ever in football history to have a 3,000-yard passing, 1,000-rushing-yard season, played for Coach Golish, played for Coach Gordon, the offensive coordinator at South Florida, very prolific, knows the offense, knows the system, knows the process. And he's on campus today visiting, according to reports. I think it's Auburn or nobody else for him. I think you also got to restock the offensive line, because you're going to lose both tackles. You're likely losing both starting guards. Your starting center just announced for the NFL draft a year early. So I think your priorities before the wide receiver room, I think you're going to see roster construction with this staff a lot more like NFL roster construction, and wide receiver one is not the highest paid guy on an NFL roster. It's quarterback, it's left tackle, it's edge rusher. And I think that's the same approach that this staff will take. You got to build your line, you got to build your quarterback room, you got to build your edge rusher, you got to have guys to pressure the quarterback, and then you got to get guys. I think it's more important to have guys that fit into your system offensively than it is to maybe have the best talent. You know, talent's subjective, because they got to fit into your system. Mm-hmm. So I'm not downplaying what Cam Coleman can be, but, you know, perhaps the NIL investment and this system and what you ask wide receivers to do, it all has to fit. And I think that's what they'll look for more than anything else, is the way that a receiver fits into the system.
Visit with Brad Law, part of the Auburn broadcasting. Brad, got about 60 seconds left here. But from a fan standpoint, are the fans gathering around the new coach, and what are you hearing around the campus?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. For the most part, yes. They understand that a culture change was needed. Something was needed. I mean, everybody liked, you know, most people liked Hugh Freeze to a man, but the results, you know, the results just weren't there. You have to win. Above everything else, you have to win. And they needed an extra edge to get there. Now, some are holding out to see what Auburn adds in the portal. They don't like the fact that 30 guys jumped into the portal. But I would assume that, you know, anybody not on board yet will be there if Auburn goes out and does in the portal what we think they will in terms of adding to the roster.
Brad, it is always great to have you on the show. And guys, you know, this guy's got his thumb on the pulse of Auburn basketball, Auburn sports, Auburn football. And Brad, we thank you for taking time to be with us. Of course, Auburn basketball today, they take on the Bulldogs of Georgia. That'll be at noon. And then you're back home to take on Texas A&M and Arkansas. That'll be on the 6th and 10th. So good luck to Auburn today. And Brad, we look to have you back on real soon, my friend.
Always a pleasure, guys. War Eagle. Hope everyone has a great day, great weekend.
There you go. Brad Law, part of the Auburn broadcast team. You hear him every day on FM Talk 106.5 with the Auburn Sports Today. So, all right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, let's jump into some more college football. We'll do that right here on Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. Exactly what it is. Every time we have Barry Gibson on the show, it is a fantasy.
I even sent you a new song, man. You ain't even playing
it. It's coming up. Yeah, I got it right. I got it right here. We're gonna play it here in a little bit.
Fantasy.
Oh my goodness.
You ain't
my goodness. Hey, welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. I am Randy Bergen, along with Bobby Hall and Coach Barry Gibson. Guys, let's talk a little bit about the quarterfinals. I know we don't really want to. If you're an Alabama fan. If you're an Ohio State fan, you're not real excited about it. Texas Tech, I mean, again, three of the four teams that got byes don't make it. Last year, none of them did.
None of them.
And this year only one, and that was Indiana, and they played Alabama. I'm going to break that game down in just a few moments. But let's start with the Miami-Ohio State game, Barry. Miami defeats Ohio State 24-14. Carson Beck, I thought, played outstanding again. Miami really brought the heat. And Georgia, Ohio State looked like they were kind of a little lost.
Yeah, I thought Miami played like the team that wanted it the most. They really did, man. They were excited on the sideline, and you can just see that when they play. And they were more physical. I keep going back to that. The team that really is the most physical has got a chance to win a game, and usually does. And they were just more physical than Ohio State.
We talked earlier in the season a few weeks ago when we were talking about Miami, how they started off the year really strong, then they kind of fluttered there, and then now they're picking it back up. So, yeah, that's some good coaching. They definitely played some smash-mouth football against them. They really stepped up. And, we'll talk about the next game coming up, but I was very impressed. And to take down Ohio State the way they did.
Yeah, when your head coach – Cristobal, is when he's interviewed, if you listen, when his favorite word in every interview is violent, something is going on. They're going to be aggressive. But he says that all the time about how violent he wants them to be.
And they were.
Again,
that's there's a internal seed being planted there. Yep. And, for Alabama – the word soft is coming out now.
Yeah.
And that has never been used when you talk about an Alabama football team.
No. No, you're right. You're right. But, it is what it is right now. But Miami is really going to be a tough game for Ole Miss. Of course, I'm pulling for Ole Miss, being from Mississippi. And our son graduated from Ole Miss. And he was at the game the other night down in the Superdome in New Orleans, he and some friends and our daughter-in-law. And I just think Ole Miss got a real chance. But Miami, if they bring that physicality like they did the other night, it's going to be hard for Ole Miss to beat them.
Well, one of the things, too, I think with Ole Miss as we move forward to that semifinal game, Miami and Ole Miss, that'll be on the Thursday, I believe, the 8th.
True.
Right now, and we were talking about a little while ago, LSU is not happy. They want those coaches down in Baton Rouge. They don't want them moving on. And my thing is, guys, let them finish. You've got a game on Thursday night, and then on the 19th, it's not like it's 3 months from now that they're being tied up. Let them focus in on this, get a win if they can for Ole Miss, and then get down to Baton Rouge.
I agree. I think there's a way to work that out. And I go back to the kids. Those Ole Miss coaches who are going to LSU with Kiffin, they still owe it to those Ole Miss kids to come this far.
Yeah.
And then, you have a great win over Georgia. Now you're in the semifinals and you're going to say, well, we'll see you guys. Good luck.
Yeah.
I just think it would just be terrible for those coaches
to do that. It's terrible right now the way it is.
I mean, who would be the coach? Who'd be calling the plays? Who's calling the defense?
Good question.
Well, I mean, Pete Golden, obviously, but
offense is where
it'd be hurting.
That's where they would really hurt because of Charlie Weiss Jr. and the tight end coach and the offensive line coach and all those guys are going to be leaving. So it would really hurt the offense. So I think they're going to work it out, though. Kiffin says they got a plan with Golden, to let those. And I know I did hear where the Ole Miss coaches who are going to LSU are going back and forth. They'll leave practice at Ole Miss, this past week, and hustle down to Baton Rouge for meetings with Kiffin and then go back to Oxford. And so they're trying to work it out, But I really hope they do the right thing and stay with these kids. Mm-hmm. And I hope they win the national championship, man. I want an SEC team to win it.
Sure. And that's the only SEC team playing.
That's it. That's it. And being from Mississippi, and I just really hope they go all the way.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss has a good, exciting team. I mean, their offense opens it up, and so that's exciting to watch. So, yeah, I'll be pulling for the Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, it'll be a good game. Again, they'll be taking on the Hurricanes of Miami on Thursday night. I think that's going to be probably of the two semifinal games. I think that's going to be probably the most exciting one. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the Indiana-Oregon game coming up in just a moment. But I do want to break down. Oregon defeats Texas Tech 23-0. I did not see that. I thought – and if you're a Texas Tech fan, like an Alabama fan, you've got to be just depleted because of no score. I mean, Alabama gets a field goal, get 3 points. How does that happen? How does that in any world, if you're an Alabama fan, how does that happen to only get 3 points? Anybody help me?
We're all at a loss. We all have long faces.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know.
It's like, what happened?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I'm not in the loop.
I just think.
Is Oregon that good? Is Oregon that good? Over, I mean, they came in ranked fifth seed. Texas mm-hmm. Tech was a 4 seed. So.
Well, they're a really good football team.
Yeah.
I'm like you though, Randy. I did not see a shutout against Texas Tech coming.
Right.
Texas Tech's been one of the most explosive offensive teams all year in the country. Well, they average like 38 points a game or something.
Right.
And now you don't score a point. That was a huge statement for Oregon's defense. And I'm sure that's the confidence they're going to take into that game. But, again, now you're talking about a rematch. You know, a lot of people don't like seeing a rematch, Bobby. You know, so Indiana beat Oregon during the season. Now here we go. They're going, you know, very similar to Ole Miss and Georgia, the rematch between them. But
right.
That turned out to be a heck of a game.
Yeah.
And maybe this one will be too, you know.
What you think, Bobby?
Well, we're used to rematches when Georgia and Alabama get back in.
Yes,
they play during the year, and then they play in the SEC championship. That's a rematch. So, yeah, I'm sure Oregon's just chomping at the bit to get back at Indiana. But Indiana's strong, and I love that quarterback. Love their running backs. And the offensive line got the MVP there in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I think when you look at the semifinals, and you got the Miami versus Ole Miss, and you got Oregon taking on Indiana – I think, again, the Ole Miss-Miami game is going to be very exciting. I think there's going to be – that could go either way, but I'm thinking Ole Miss wins that. And it may be mm-hmm. a last-minute field goal. Special teams will be important in that game.
They got a heck of a kicker.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he stepped up there the other night, nailed that 50-yarder with, like, no problem, man. With, what, 8 seconds left in the game? That's a lot of pressure, guys.
Yeah.
That kid did it. So,
well, and so he's been there and done it.
Yep.
So that's why I'm thinking mm-hmm. that might be what this comes down to in that Ole Miss-Miami game. The Oregon-Indiana game, I think Oregon probably played their best game in the quarterfinals. I don't know. For Indiana, they're a machine. They look like a machine right now. And I don't know that Oregon's going to have enough power to stop that machine. You do not want the Indiana coach walking the sideline looking at you with one eye.
He okay. got that look, doesn't he?
He's got that look. I mean, that's an intimidating look.
Yeah.
You know, it almost had a little Saban-ish in there.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So
he doesn't smile very much. That's for sure.
No, he's
can't
intense.
Get him to smile. He's very intense.
Yeah, and I think that's what's flipped Indiana. Now think about it. Indiana was one of the losingest teams in America, right? Mm-hmm. This guy comes in 2 years has got this flipped around to where they're ranked number one. Whoever thought Indiana would be ranked number one in college football?
Nobody.
Basketball, nobody. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not football.
Nope.
Not football. So I think that's going to be an Indiana win over Oregon. I could be wrong, but I think Indiana wins that. And if they play Ole Miss, Ole Miss is going to have to bring everything they have in that championship game.
Absolutely. Yep.
So
I agree.
Bobby, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that I would like to see Ole Miss win. I think the odds are against them. I think Miami's a little bit stronger, but I would like to see Ole Miss win. But, yeah, if they get up against Indiana, I mean, they're going to have to – they might have to play them with 24 players. Indiana is just a machine. You're correct.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't think they have any trouble with Oregon.
Ole Miss is that Cinderella story. You know, you always have one every year. There's that one team is that Cinderella team, and this year it's Ole Miss,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Trinidad Chambliss, their quarterback, if he plays like he did the other night, you know, against those Cats, anything can happen because he is a phenomenal football player, man.
Yeah.
That cat made some plays I ain't never seen. You know, he runs back, what, 30 yards from the pass rush. He could have lost 30 yards, but he ends up getting out of it and throwing a completion down the field.
You know,
unbelievable.
I would like to say one thing about that I've noticed over the years in college football. The back shoulder throw is phenomenal. The one-handed catches.
These mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
kids are trained so much to be athletes. We have lost a lot of the running game, although Indiana has a great running game. And the other thing that I think has just sharpened up is the kicking game. These kids kicking 60 and 62-yard field goals,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is so impressive that they've trained that well. They have that much confidence. Those are the two biggest things I've noticed is the throws, the athletes, and the wide receivers that are used more. Since years ago, Barry, when you were coaching high school, I'm sure you went to the open offense and spread the spread offense. Mm-hmm. That is just so dynamic to watch and makes that game a lot of fun. I think that's what Ole Miss has to offer, too, with those receivers. But that's the biggest thing I've seen in the last 10 years is kicking and those back shoulder throws and outside throws. They make a lot. I see more of that than I ever did. I was so used to growing up watching the power run game, you know, back when the Green Bay Packers had the sweep and you ran the ball all the time and you know, and had all the great running backs.
But, you know, that's what we're talking about with Mark in the PSR. We were talking about you're beginning to see some of this old school come back. You know, some of these teams are lining up in the eye. They're running out of that eye. They're running out of a power formation. So, you know, I don't
– Smart, because a lot of the defenses don't practice against that anymore because of the spread offenses. Everybody is, you know, five receivers, you know, wide receivers out, five wide, and you work on that during practice, and then all of a sudden you get in a game and they line up in an I, you know, in a tight end in there, big tight end, and they're going to come downhill right at you. If you haven't worked on stopping that, it's tough. It's hard to stop.
I got to tell you, of course, you know, Barry and I did Bayside football for many, many years. And one of the things that we talked about on many occasions is the fact of what Phil Lazenby did with having probably the smallest and slowest team on the field in a lot of occasions. Mm-hmm. And how he could take that and the way he had his offense – lined up in that wing T.
Wing T. Old school.
He could make something out of nothing. And I can remember going and playing a team that was much more physical, much faster. All athletes on that team.
Gordo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the way we came in, Bayside came in and won that ball game. Unbelievable. One of the best high school football games I've ever seen was when Bayside went up there and beat Gordo. That was a third round, wasn't it? Third round, because we had to come back. Yeah,
that's right.
And unbelievable at their home place. And they had the top linebacker in the state playing with them at that time. And to see these kids, but that's my point is sometimes you don't always have to be the biggest and the baddest. You can be smart and play smart football.
The scheme helps, you know. And as you say, a lot of these teams are kind of going back to old school stuff, you know, that was successful. I mean, there's still some teams out there running the wishbone, you know, or variations of it. Maybe not just the true wishbone, but a variation of it. And it works, you know, it just works. So I'm glad to see it. I'm old school.
Well, you have a lot of options. I mean, think about the wishbone. Think about everything you could run off of a wishbone. I mean, you know better than anybody.
Yep. I tell you, not every team is going to be blessed with a Trinidad Chambliss
right.
at quarterback. You're going to have sometimes an average kid, but he can read and hand off or pitch the ball on the option pitch, you know, and make it work.
Tell you what, Mendoza's pretty good for Indiana.
He's
pretty good. They deserve the Heisman. Deserve the Heisman. All right, let's take a final timeout.
When is nerdy looking, though. I've never seen
I think his mama would disagree with you.
I know. He's a great player.
Hey, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, maybe we jump into a little bit of golf. Got some sad news in the golf world. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Southern Fairways.
Down the street one day, a man
a little Doc, Doc Rogers in the Rock Dodger band, and lead singer Barry Gibson there.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
So you can sing other songs other than Vehicle.
I want people to know that. That's right. we recorded that over in the studio in Mobile. We did some cuts when I was with the band there, and that was one of them we did. And man, it was cool. It was very cool.
I know me and Bobby used to go watch y'all at McSherry's. From time to time. And I got to tell you, you had a trombone player that was
That was awesome. I mean, that dude, he could get it.
Yeah, Dean Dotts, great guy and very talented trombone player.
Now you, the last week, I guess, you were – last week was a replay. So the week before that, you were headed over to sing at your brother's church.
Yep.
How'd that go?
That went really well. It was a Christmas service. My brother's a pastor at Community of Christ Church over in Mobile, and he wanted me to sing Mary, Did You Know for the Christmas service, and so I did. And, yeah, it was just a very moving church service. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. Good. So if somebody wants to have you as a singer, how do they do that?
Let me shoot, man. Just you can give them my number, Randy. I tell you what, I have been blessed. I've sang at weddings, church services, of course, with the band and all kind of gigs. I've even had to sing at a couple of funerals. Now, talk about something tough.
Really?
Yeah, I had a dear friend of mine in Gulfport who lost her son and to a drug overdose. She asked me to come sing at that funeral. So I played the guitar and sang I Can Only Imagine. But, boy, you talk about hard to get through something.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, you just pray a lot and just do the best you can. But, you hate to tell them no, when they ask you to come sing at something like that. But I'd much rather sing at a wedding than a funeral. That's for sure.
Well, speaking of which, in the golf world, one of the all-time greats, Jumbo Ozaki, Japan's winningest player, he died at the age of 78 on Wednesday. 113 worldwide victories, Bobby. And I know this was a guy that you followed. Everybody enjoyed watching Jumbo.
Yeah, very well-dressed, very well-educated in golf, and did just a great job representing his great country, Japan. And he'll be missed. He can knock the you-know-what out of it. He can knock the cover off the ball. But great to have had him around.
Okay, one guess. Guess who turned 50 years old this past Tuesday? Anybody know?
In our little clique?
No.
Okay.
Worldwide.
Oh, Mr. Woods.
Tiger Woods turns 50.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Now, know you're getting old whenever Tiger turns 50, right?
Absolutely.
So I wonder if he's going to play much on the Champions Tour, if he plays at all.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him go out there and just maybe – once or twice. It was good to see Phil when Phil was playing on it.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see. He moves the needle no matter where he goes.
It's all about his surgeries, if he can get healthy.
That's exactly right.
He'll play.
He wants to play.
He does. He does want to play.
Yeah. He could go play at 60% and still be competitive.
It's amazing, though, Randy and Bobby, you guys being big golf guys, it's amazing to see the difference in the crowds when Tiger plays,
sure,
than it is when he's not playing. Mm-hmm. People will go see him if he's playing, when they may not go to a golf tournament all year. But if they can get there, if Tiger's playing, they're going.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you said, he moves the needle, man.
Well, when he's playing, you can see it on TV. I mean, the numbers go up whenever Tiger's playing in an event. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see what happens. We'll certainly follow him. One guy that won't be playing on the LIV tour any longer, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
He has left the LIV Tour. Your thought on that, Bobby?
I've done a little bit of research on that, and some are saying you need to requalify, go back and requalify on the tour after he's won U.S. Opens and all that. But if you let him back in the door, I don't think that sets a good example. I think he
taking all that money and then
he needs to sit out a year or some length of time, and then if he wants to come back, I think he needs to go to qualifying school. I don't think he needs to give any money back or pay a fine, but he needs to requalify to play the tour. Now, if he has his exemptions for U.S. Open wins and all that, and playing those events that the Masters exempts him to or anything over that period, we're welcome to it. I do not think, and I think the PGA Tour rule is like our friend John Drago at Byron Nelson. He can't give him an exemption or give him, a slot to play. They're not allowed to do that. I think he's just got to earn his way back on. And he's just going to have to sit out for, I think, at least for a year. To get your amateur status back, you have to sit out a certain time, not play in any events. And I think he kind of needs to do the same thing with the tour. But if you start letting those guys back in, I don't think that's good. I really don't. And then you've got kids that are coming up now in the college ranks. Now they're given how many top college players an exemption when they play well? The top 10?
Yeah.
Something like that. These kids are getting in, and, you know, he's taking up a slot, and maybe somebody else is a better player. Now, they don't have the name that Kepka
has. Well, but that's going to be the thing. That's a draw. I mean, that's revenue. It's all about the dollar bill.
Well, the PGA Tour has plenty of money, Randy, and they don't give a crap. Yeah. They really don't give a crap.
Yeah. So, I don't see the live lasting very long. I don't think it's going to be around for a long time.
I don't know that you can continue to pay that kind of money. And they, I mean, look, they've got fans out there. Nothing like the PGA Tour does whenever they have an event. But there are a lot of folks that are pro live, and they like it. They like the short pants. They like the music. I think that there's a place for that. To me, that just doesn't give a professional.
All right.
Look to it.
And, yeah. No, wait a minute. Every time I play with you, you got on short pants and music playing in the golf cart.
Well, again, professional. Okay, professional. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
But Randy, don't we have the most fun at some of these celebrity events? You've been at Diamond Resorts. We got a DJ up at 18th hole. You're announcing. We're having fun. We're playing music. It's a good atmosphere.
Again, though, I agree with you 100%. That is a celebrity type, and I know that's the LPGA as well. But you remember very well Lexi Thompson's handler flew up to the DJ booth and made us cut the music off. We weren't supposed to say anything, nothing. I mean, the guy was not really a nice guy. There's words that we could use for him. But
Out of here. I'll play the umpire behind the plate. You're out.
Yeah, well, you couldn't do anything when Lexi Thompson was hitting.
When you have Jerry Kelly and Lee Trevino and all the guys that cut up and have a great time and they're talking smack, that's more fun. These guys are so stoic. And just they're robots. They're just robots. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that's what we need to bring to the tour.
And we've talked about that. You know, you need those personalities like Peter Jacobson, like Chichi Rodriguez, Lee Trevino. Yeah. I mean, all of those guys, Arnold Palmer, those guys. That's what grew that tour. Yeah. I mean, having those personalities like that. And now, it seemed like it's more about the money than it is anything else. And there's a couple of guys out there that talk quite a bit. Jordan Spieth, he'll talk a lot, but from a hilarious standpoint, there's not a whole lot to pick from.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be hilarious, but I think everybody needs to lighten up a little bit.
I do too. Yeah, lighten up. Yeah, drink a little sugar water.
Okay. All right. Well, sugar the water. PGA Tour will crank up. It looks like they will be going, they'll be cranking up in Hawaii for the Sony Open in Honolulu versus Kapalua, where we had the opportunity to go by there when we were in Hawaii. And that number 18.
It's something else. Boy, that altitude coming down that hill.
Straight down, isn't it?
Yeah. We didn't get to play it, but we got to see it. That was pretty cool. But now they're having that water shortage, and the golf course is not in good shape, and they're having to drop that event. I thought they might move to Torrey Pines, but that didn't happen either. So they're just going to drop it.
So Bobby talked a little bit about the pro rivals,
of course. We're supposed to crank back up in Indian Wells in February. And so I'm hoping that works out.
That's in Palm Desert, right, California?
Right, Palm Springs.
Palm Springs.
Out in the desert. So John Smoltz is the new commissioner of that. I've run two events, helped him with two events, the one here at Lakewood and the one down in Orlando. Let me tell you, that Grand Cypress Resort down there that's been redone, what a beautiful facility. That was a lot of fun with the two different courses. But Pro Rivals is a new tour with Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, and hockey players. Then you have people like Marty Fish from tennis and Taylor Twellman from soccer, really, really proficient players. And Tyler Clippard won down there, and then you got Aaron Hicks. They can knock the you-know-what out of it. And some of them are pretty close, not quite playing on the tour, but they're pretty close to being tour players. They at least hit it as far, control their game very well. But Pro Rivals, you can look them up online, the Pro Rivals Open, and see what these ex-athletes don't have anything to play in anymore now that they're retired, and more of them are retiring earlier. Mm-hmm. So this is going to give them a chance to be competitive and play some golf and play some really good golf courses. So it's called the Pro Rivals Open. You can look them up online.
Good stuff. It really is. And some of those guys, like Marty Fish, I don't know why Marty doesn't try to go out for PGA Tour. Marty's, he, you know, he's got that game.
He got a sponsor's exemption to one event, but he didn't play very well. But Marty, they're just such great guys, and they have a lot of fun. It's like a huge bunny trip.
Yeah.
But thank you for letting me bring that up. But they'll be playing Indian Wells.
All right, Bobby, you got 15 seconds. Have you got a golf tip in there? Don't give us a putting tip, okay?
I think a great tip that we Kip Raley and I started on was, you know, swing about 60-70, take one more club and swing about 70-80%, and you'll enjoy the game more, and you'll be surprised how you get the ball the hole. Right, Randy, on the par 3 yesterday, what I coached you into doing.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
You should have made the putt.
Should have made it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hey, Barry, always good to hang out, brother.
Thanks, man. I enjoyed it so much.
All right. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. And welcome to 2026, as a lot of new things are going to be happening this year with the show. We'll tell you more about that as the weeks come. Until next week, I'm Randy Bergen. Have a great day. Say a prayer. God bless America. Bye-bye, everybody.